Are you ready to bounce back better? Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living. Hello, wonderful. I am here with Elizabeth, and we're going to talk about anger. Hopefully, we won't get angry at each other. I doubt it. I doubt it. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm good. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for having me on.
Well, awesome. So as we were preparing for this podcast, we talked about how sometimes women feel angry, but then sometimes women know they should feel angry and then don't, and just kind of stuff it back down. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, I would say, you know, kind of looking back on the past relationship, there are definitely some things that I should be angry about, some behaviors that weren't okay and that weren't right, some ways that I was treated that I should be angry about, I think. But my default reaction just tends to be to feel hurt and to feel sad and to ask myself, you know, why, what I did to contribute to that, and look at myself versus looking at things, I think, a little bit more critically. And, you know, there are times when it should be about the other person and not about me. And I just really struggle to do that, I think.
Well, yeah, turning everything inward allows you to avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hope of avoiding conflict, right? That's probably the goal, subconscious goal. And you can be maybe frustrated or angry at yourself, but it means you can avoid a conflict with someone else.
Ooh, I think that's spot on, Sarah. I really do.
Well, great. We're done then. I'm just kidding. 5 minutes. Here we go. No, I'm playing. And did you get a chance to see the live I did this morning, or it was just like an hour and a half ago or something? It was really recent.
No, I haven't had a chance to look at that one yet.
Yeah. Well, I talk about, for there to be healthy relationships in place, we think we need 100% empathy. Oh, I just need to be kind. I need to be understanding. I need to be giving. I need to be, not put pressure on them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And toxic people think they should have 100, for them to have the relationship they want, they need 100% expectations. So there's zero empathy, 100% expectations from a toxic person. And mm-hmm. they tend to choose people who have very low expectations of others, very high expectations of themselves, probably,
mm-hmm.
and then very high empathy. So you see the misbalance.
Yeah.
And if we can get to a place where we have 50% empathy and 50% expectations, you see how much healthier of a relationship dynamic that is, not only within you as a person, right? And it's like, okay, I'm going to be a little bit angry, just a little baby bit angry if my expectations are not met, right? Then it's such a better setup for you moving forward.
Yeah. And I see the logic in that. I think I did see something in one of the learning sessions about something similar to that.
Yeah.
But again, just translating that into a feeling or into a reaction, I'm just not there yet. I'm not sure how to trigger, how to allow, to open myself up to allow that anger to come forward if I've been pushing it down for so long.
Mm-hmm. And there's a chart. I've been trying to find this chart and knew we were going to talk about this, but about levels of energy,
mm-hmm.
about levels of energy. And when you think about sadness or mm-hmm. depression, those are very, 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 very low levels of energy. And anger is actually within the NLP process, if you're trying to get a person to take action in their own life, and they've been depressed, it's hard to take them the full leap to excitement or joy or love, or, you know, that feels like much more of a leap. And anger is actually quicker to get to and easier to get to.
Okay.
And is a more powerful emotion because it's an action-based emotion rather than a passive emotion, even though it can be really yucky and negative sometimes and misused. You know, that's a different conversation. But, you know, when you get little kids on the playground and you keep getting pushed down, you're just like, oh, I'm just so sad, I'm getting pushed down, and you curl up in a ball.
Mm-hmm.
You try to avoid the conflict, but there's no active participation in your own life.
Right.
But getting angry allows you to say, you can't treat me that way. Stop pushing me. Don't do that to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's not an answer to your question, but I do want you to start seeing, trying to access more powerful and active emotions rather than passive emotions. Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. And I'm going to ask the how question.
I would love, yes, I'm happy to talk about the how. That's kind of the why, right? Why first, how second? And not in my circling why abstract thinking. If you know, if people who've gone through our program, they're like, wait, she tells us not to ask why questions. I do want you to know what you're doing on purpose, because if I just say, oh, you have a right to be angry, it's like, okay. Or it's okay to be angry, it's like, okay. But when I say, I want you to be an active participant in your own life rather than a passive participant in your life.
Yes.
And anger is a shorter path than joy and contentment and purpose and all those things that we will eventually get to, but you're very early in your journey. That's the why. It's not so that you can be angry, and it's not about the people that you are angry with. It is about you having a sense of power again.
Yes.
And an active sense of power and a protection mechanism. Right now, your brain is telling you if you don't get angry, it's protecting you, because then you can avoid the conflict.
Right.
However, in the path to become toxic person proof, there is no way to avoid toxic people if toxic people don't bother you.
True.
Right? Like, and sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, how do I not let them bother me? How do I not let them bother me? And it's like, whoa, you really want them to bother you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to a place where there's a crocodile gnawing at your arm and you're just like, oh, it's fine. He's cute. It's right? It's like, no. That's not where we're going with this. That's not where we're going with this. So does that make any sense?
It makes so much sense. And I respond both to what you're saying about being sort of passive in my life. I think I've been doing that even before the toxic person. And that's probably how I set myself up to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I looking back, I think I've been just sort of coasting along for years.
Because you felt powerless.
Yeah.
And if you are struggling with an emotion and you feel powerless to fix it, it's easier to push away the emotion than to wrestle with something every day that feels like it's not going to work.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So now the how, right? First of all, I want to ask you, if there was someone who was angry because someone mistreated them, what mm-hmm. would they act like? When you picture that image or that person in your mind, what is that person doing?
Well, for one thing, standing up for themselves.
And what does that mean?
Pushing back, calling out the bad behavior, protecting a boundary to not tolerate that. But I guess that looks like it's loud, for one thing.
And I want to really separate. As you know, I'm always like breaking problems into bite-sized pieces.
Right.
Everything you said so far, can you do those things without being angry?
Yes.
Okay. And I really want you to know that. Anger is not my go-to, right? It's probably never going to be your go-to.
Okay.
It's not. Like, you're not naturally angry.
No.
That's okay. That's okay, right? We want to protect ourselves, right? But you're never going to turn into like this person who's like the Hulk, nor would we want you to. And what I say is, every problem doesn't need a hammer.
Okay.
Okay. So you can stand up for yourself without, how dare you do this to me? Da, 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 da.
Right.
Okay. There's other options than a hammer.
So let me ask you this question, because, you know, the way you say that feels good in a couple of ways. One, you know, that I don't have to be the Hulk.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be comfortable doing that. But it also, I guess, gives me permission to not be angry. And is that kind of what you're saying? Is that's okay?
I'm giving you permission to choose and do it on purpose. Yes. Yes. And angry person is not, I want it to bother you when toxic people come into your space.
Yeah.
But whatever image, you've probably had a lot of people being angry with you and it was really hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And so you associate anger with being a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm trying to find a shorter bridge for you to cross that feels more powerful and allows you to protect yourself. You don't lose your identity of being like feeling like a good person.
I like the sound of that a lot.
Well, good. this isn't my first rodeo, I'm sure. This isn't my first rodeo. So And I identify with that, right? It's easy for me to speak about because it's easy for me to understand wanting to keep that identity piece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable being angry. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's sort of my underlying question is, you know, does that mean, again, that something is wrong? Or does that just mean I need to take a different path? Which is, I think, what I hear you saying.
I think do what works.
Right.
Your goal is to protect yourself.
Right.
Right. Not your goal is not to process feelings. Right. We get in this healing world and these conversations like, oh, you just need to process this. You need to do that. You need to do this. And it's like, why? Well, what's the end game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And our end game is protecting yourself from toxic people so that you're not taken advantage of.
Right.
Not processing feelings. Processing feelings is not the end game. What's the point? Right.
Point. Point.
So silly. It seems so silly. And that's why people are like, oh yeah, you're talking a different language. And some people are bothered by it. And they're like, oh, Sarah, I want to talk to you about processing feelings. I was like, why? What do you want to do with it? Like, where do you want to go? Where do you want to, you know, because I want to do everything on purpose. And if you get angry, I want it to be kind of on purpose, right? And give yourself permission to be angry on purpose. You can write yourself a permission note. Dear Elizabeth, yes. I give you permission to be angry. There were a lot of things that happened that you probably could have, should have been angry about a long time ago. And it's okay to be angry now. That is 100% an option for you.
Right, right.
A great option, okay? But I was curious, I asked you that question about how you identify what someone who is angry looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that you just described strength at the beginning. And then you said they were loud. Right?
Right.
But the first stuff you said was like amazing and powerful. It wasn't mean.
Right.
And I think the meanness and being mean is the disconnect with anger. You don't want to be mean.
Right. I don't.
And who would, right? Like bad people. Bad people want to be mean. Good people do not want to be mean. This is not hard.
Right.
You don't want to be an angry, mean Hulk. You know, that's great, right? That's great. So, but we do need to figure out ways to make sure you are describing. I really want you to like rethink anger.
Okay.
Okay. Because when you describe an angry person, you said someone who pushes back. I mean, somebody could push back because to defend someone.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in middle school, a girl said she was going to commit suicide. We told her mother, and her mother could not, she didn't get to go on some trip, and it turned into this big thing, and blah, 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 blah. And I remember, like, at the time, I think some people were, like, annoyed that I had, like, even told her mom, because they were like, well, Sarah, she didn't mean it, and she was just doing this big thing. I obviously have no regrets for my decisions at that piece. But I remember having to push back on my teachers at the time to say, no, you need to do something about this, right? That's not me being angry. That's me being protective.
Right, right. And I think that the kind of tying back to anger as I'm thinking through what you're saying and my definition currently, you know, there's a lot of emotional responses, anger being probably the primary, where it's immediate. And, you know, I also associate anger with saying things without a filter. And
yeah, that's not who you want to be.
No, no. And a fear of saying something I'm going to regret in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I think, another reason why I don't respond, or I sort of keep my lips closed when I'm feeling something strong like that.
So we need to find ways to raise up your active participation in your own life and your sense of power. Mm-hmm. And let's get rid of the word anger altogether. Like I want you to be active and be able to protect yourself. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You are doing something that does not align with who I want to be around. You are not respecting me. You know, those types of things. Like notice and take action, but the action does not have to be angry.
Right, right. Okay, okay.
Okay. So is there an example of someone in your own life who's pushing your boundaries right now?
Yes, actually. I think my mother, just in terms of wanting to be involved, sort of wanting to be aware of what's going on in my life, wanting to talk about things that I don't really want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Also, I think making me feel bad about some of my choices just because it doesn't necessarily align with what she thinks I should be doing or should be choosing.
Mm-hmm. What does she say to you? Like, what is, when she makes you feel guilty in these things, what is she saying to you?
I'm trying to think of a good example. I'm really bad about thinking of like exact words or stories, but it's fairly passive aggressive. Like, oh, you know, for example, if you moved, we don't want you to move. We would miss you. Like, who's going to take care of us when we're needing some extra help? You know, those types of things.
So some options. Yeah. Passive aggressive is a whole different animal anyway. but it really is. And that's a mother's tool, right? Of passive aggressiveness.
Right.
Not all mothers. Hi, Mom. I love you. You're the best mom ever.
doing it to hurt me. It just, you know, it makes me feel kind of boxed in.
Yeah. Because it's someone else trying to take away your choices. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And say, you know, and even a response to that is, I respect that we feel differently about this. You know, I've got to do what I think is right for me at this time.
Mm-hmm.
That is not angry.
Right.
But it is not a doormat.
Right. Okay. Right.
Sometimes we can use like a, you know, talk about the hammer, picking out a conversational tool from the toolbox. And sometimes we can have a feather, right? Okay. You know, oh, Mom, I love you so much. Thanks for caring about me. That's a feather. That's an option.
Right.
It does. She could try the passive aggressive thing. Oh, Mom, thanks so much for caring about me. Or thanks so much for letting me know you're going to miss me. That's kind of a very light feather option, but it kind of pushes it back on her. Because then she's going to be like, what? What? That didn't work. That didn't work. I was trying to get her to do something different. That didn't work. You know, that it's like a feather option. Very, very light. Not angry, but not passive.
I like that. Okay. Okay.
Then something a little bit stronger in the fact that, you know, I recognize that you believe if you were in my position, you would make a different decision. But this is what I've chosen to do right now. And I hope you can love me through it.
Yep.
A little stronger, not angry, but absolutely standing in your power without being mean.
Right.
And you're saying, this is what I need to do for me, which has nothing to do with her.
Right.
It is not about her. And you know, this is what I need to do for me. That is not angry and it is not mean, but it is powerful and it's active rather than passive.
Okay. Okay. I see the difference. So, and I'm just going to rephrase a little bit of what you're saying. Make sure that I'm getting things. I think what I hear you saying is to, like, the first step there is recognizing what I need in that situation so that I can articulate or set that boundary in a way that's not explosive or not hurtful.
That's perfect. Yep. It's great.
Okay.
And accessing what you need in almost any circumstance is always the first step.
Like, right.
I mean, you said that and I just wanted to, like, you know, like the old standing ovations, like, you know, it's like the crowd goes wild. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you said what you need rather than what, you know, somebody else needs. And that goes from everything to, I need to stop eating. I've had enough.
Right.
I really need dessert. Or I need to take a nap, you know, I need to manage myself and take a nap and rest for the day. Mm-hmm. Or I need to set a boundary, or I need to get a new career to provide a different future for myself. Like, all those things start with, where am I at? I need to acknowledge where I'm at, get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about the future. And acknowledging what you need is getting real about the present. And this is where I am, and this is what I need. And only then can you determine an action plan from there.
Okay. And I will say, you know, there's been a lot of emotion that I've processed over the last year and a half since making the break with that toxic relationship. And I think there's two things I want to say about that. One, that I noticed that as I've kind of gone through this journey, early on, I would have a lot of really strong emotional reactions And it would take a few days to kind of dig through and figure out what that was really in response to. And it took me a while to I had to give myself permission to sort of sit there with that feeling for a while until I could figure out where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. And as I've been kind of going through this, the time that it takes me to figure out what's at the heart of that feeling is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Like,
oh, yeah.
Remember, I'm trying to think the last time I really had that where I had a really strong feeling and I didn't quite know where it was coming from. Like, you know, I felt like I was missing an opportunity by not being able to articulate right away, mm-hmm. and taking a few days and having to come back to it in conversations with people. Like, that was where I felt like something was wrong with me and where I felt like, you know, I need to be able to express that more quickly. But I do think some of that's happening. Like, as I hear you say that, maybe part of what's happening is that I am getting clear on what my own needs and values and things are, and that mystery emotion, that strength of emotion is not quite as explosive as it used to be.
And all you're looking for, the only advantage of anger is feeling powerful.
Right?
So if you can find ways to feel powerful without feeling mean, that's better.
It is better. Okay. The second thing, you know, in looking back, I was feeling like I maybe wasn't powerful, to use your word, or still had some vulnerability in the fact that I never got angry about everything that happened in the past. And I think what I hear you saying, if I'm reading in between the lines, is, you know, I don't have to feel anger about that. I don't have to go back to that at all, really. I can just recognize that some of what happened wasn't okay, and I'm not going to let that happen again, but I don't have to feel anger. I don't have to feel like there's, and I'm trying to come up with a better word, but I can rise above it. I can protect myself against it in the future without having that, bitterness, maybe, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, definitely bitter is not what we're going for. Yeah.
No, for sure. Or, vindictive, or, you know, there's so much that goes.
See, you associate such ugly words with anger.
I do. Right?
And so you trying to get angry is almost like an identity crisis, because it's like you don't want to be that person, and you feel almost like you have to morph into this other person to access those feelings. But anger could have, you know, there's hurt anger, there's explosive anger, there's passive aggressive anger, there's blah, 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 anger, right? That can be like one, it's like sadness. There's a million flavors of sadness. There's a million flavors of anger. Okay. Mm-hmm. So even that word, if that word is what's hanging you up, throw out the word. Who cares if you get what you think of as angry? What you want to get is safe.
Yeah.
So when someone is being toxic towards you and misbehaving you, I want it to bother you. Mm-hmm. But if it's easier to, whoa, that really bothers me, I don't feel like that was respectful on their end, I feel disrespected.
Yeah.
It's okay to say I feel disrespected rather than I feel angry. Who cares? Who cares what you feel? The whole point is that there's a signal in your body happening. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong and I need to take action to fix it.
Oh, I like that so much better. A whole different direction of permission, Sarah.
Wow. See, that was a lot better than just that permission note of giving yourself permission to get angry. And sometimes I feel like I talk around all these problems. It's like, well, it's like, where is she going with this? And then that it just lands in, I'm just always looking for those shorter bridges to cross.
Yep. Yep.
And it works just as well, because the point is your protection, not that you feel angry. There's no purpose to feeling angry unless it's protecting you.
I like the way you describe that. I wish you could see the smile on my face.
I wish you could see the smile on my face. Because I'm happy too. I love problem solving. I do love problem solving. Oh, well, that's awesome. So any quick tips or tricks or any message you would give to our listeners to say something along the lines of, hey, you know, 5 years ago, what you would say to yourself 5 years ago, or what you would want someone else to know who was maybe in your situation, your previous situation?
I think what I would tell sort of the earlier version of myself is, I love the word permission. Yeah. Like, if I could go back to myself and say, I think there's two things. You have permission to everything that you're feeling, everything that you are responding to is valid. I would give myself permission to listen to that internal voice, listen to those signals, and permission especially to validate all of that and to listen to myself first and foremost. And I think the second thing I would go back to myself and change my definition of what being nice and what being kind really means, because I think my definition of being nice and being kind was always to protect others over myself. And what I've learned most in the last year, year and a half, is that that's not being kind. It's not being thoughtful of others. Using my own voice, being honest about what I need and what I want and what's important to me is being kind to others. It is being thoughtful and respectful to others. Let me correct that, or at least qualify it a little bit and say those that I'm in a healthy relationship with want that from me.
Yes. Yes.
If I have to protect them by being something other than 100% myself, then that's a red flag. And that's something that I need to be moving away from, not towards.
Well, the only people who have problems with your boundaries mm-hmm. are the people who don't want you to have them.
Right?
Right. No one else has issues with that. It's like, yeah, you should go to sleep early or not kill yourself or, you know, not kill yourself, but, you know, kill yourself and like working. I think about like bosses, right? And it's like, no, there's no boundaries at work. You just keep working like a workhorse and you're like, feels like you're about to kill yourself off, you know, just working and working and working, or working in a romantic relationship, or working as a daughter, you know, whatever it is. So right. Yeah, the only people with problems with your boundaries are people who don't want you to have any. So. Nice little bumper sticker. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. You were dead on in that niceness and kindness. And I hope today has helped you. I know it is.
It's huge. I feel like another weight has been lifted. Just not trying to find. I felt like there was something that I'd been buried or pushed down, and I don't have to go digging for it anymore. That's something I can take off my to-do list.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. Tell everybody bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Hello, wonderful. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that you found something that will either help you get past your past, get real about your present, or get serious about your future. And hopefully it's all three. If you're not already in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, consider this your invitation. There are tons of lives, tons of tips and tricks to help you bounce back better. Have a great day.